Welcome everyone to the Extreme Strength and Fitness Podcast. I'm your host, Devonta Erlinson, and this is the place where all extreme sports athletes can come to make sure that they are staying stable, mobile, and strong. Without further ado, let's get to the episode. All right, everybody, let's get to it. Another episode of the XSF Podcast. I'm your host, Devonta Erlinson, and today we're going to be talking about the three different phases of a repetition. How to utilize them, what they're good for, what they mean, and especially right now with being at home, how you can use them to your advantage with just body weight. Or if you have bands and stuff, you know, just incorporate what I talk about into that type of training. So without further ado, let's get into it. First and foremost, like I said, it's time to talk about skating. So skating for me, I actually had a really fun session. So the last time I skated, the last two times, I've been deciding to cruise around the bowl a little bit more. So I stopped skating transition, it was a while ago. Just because it was just wasn't there. Like, I skated the mini ramp at my local skate park when it was like nice outside, and I always had that, but I haven't skated like a bowl or a vert ramp in a long time. So I decided, well, I know it's a great way to warm up, get those legs really pumped and feeling good, and also just get that heart rate up and being able to get it where it needs to be for when you're skating, and it's not, then you're like literally getting your core temperature up and then you can get right to it. But for me, it was more the fact of just pushing or pumping regular and then actually pumping switch. So I neglected this for a long time, like for so long growing up skating. I just didn't skate switch. I didn't see the point. I didn't want to do it, and it wasn't for me. So later into my skateboarding life, I realized that was pretty silly of me. I probably should get to it and start skating switch more. So I started doing like a lot of flat ground stuff switch, trying to just get that down, because I can skate fakie all day. You try to get me to go switch or even like nollie, nah, it's not for me. It's just not for me. But, you know, get comfortable being uncomfortable, and that's what I'm trying to do, doing that. So, you know, pumping around the bowl switch has definitely been really fun, trying to figure out like how not to do the little tic-tac thing, like when you're coming around front side and you're coming around and then you just like come up, and usually you just like fluently go through it. You just pump, kind of lean on the board enough to get the trucks to go to where you want them, and then you come back down right into the like the corner pocket, come back up, come back down. So for me, going regular, super fluent. Going switch, it was just super funny, because I just, every time I would go up, it was like, oh, tic-tac, oh, tic-tac, and then, yeah, got it down by the end of the warm-up, like 5 minutes into it, and I figured it out. And that's, like, I love that about skating. The fact that I can do something and just focus on my body in such a different way, and what it's doing, and how I'm maneuvering in space, and on this piece of wood on four wheels under me, you know, it's a different way of thinking, and it's so fun. And I know, I'm sure it's like gymnastics and stuff like that, I'm sure it's like the same thing. You're just learning and figuring out through repetition, through frequency, and just, you know, consistent training. That's a big spider. Oh my gosh, just had a spider come down like right in front of my face. What's up, man? And he's on the desk. All right, see you later. So so skating's been really fun, especially just not taking it so seriously and just kind of kicking back and getting consistent on different obstacles, right? So I think I know, like, I'm sure this happens to a lot of people, and it just kind of like goes with stick with what you're good at, right? So with the pros and stuff, you kind of just know certain pros for what they do, right? So let's say like Andrew Reynolds, right? You would think of his like this dude, like the old head who's still kickflipping the biggest grass gaps and doing the gnarliest tray flips, and just he's just the old head who's getting it. And then you think, okay, gap skater, that's kind of what you know him for, stairs, stuff like that. And then you think, okay, well, another big name, you know, like Tory Pudwill, if you don't know him, look him up. You think of him, you think of like somebody who can pop high. He was known for popping high. You didn't see him getting super technical. Don't get me wrong, he can get technical on a ledge, but in a lot of his parts, if you go back and watch, he was doing a lot of tricks that involved popping very high. Same thing goes for Shane O'Neill, right? If you know Shane O'Neill is, then you Shane O'Neill is, then you know he is the tech master. You know that when he's pulling up to a ledge, he's not just gonna do like a front crook pop out or a front crook shove. It's gonna be like tray flip, front crook, nolly, varial, heel out. Who knows? I mean, I'm sure he's probably done it. I don't know, Shane O'Neill, if you've done it, cool, good for you. I mean, I don't understand it. That's like the most crazy control and connection to your ankles and feet and just lower limbs in general, just to be able to articulate a board in that fashion. And then just, I don't know, it's just cool. But that's what I'm saying, you just know certain people for what they're good at, right? Like, stick to what you're good at, get really good at that stuff, and then make it known. Like, do some crazy big trick for the trick that you're really good at, you know, stuff like that. But for me personally, I'm not filming a bunch right now for anything. I'm just trying to kind of, you know, experiment a little bit, have a little bit of fun. That's just, I mean, that's what it's all about. Sometimes I feel like I get kind of sucked into like, oh, I need to learn a new trick. And it's like, probably should think about this just like I do with training. Sometimes I want to just take it back to do bodyweight stuff, you know, get back on one leg, work on stability stuff, whatever it may be. And with skating, I'm getting to a point where I want to go back and fine tune certain little things, just because it's fun, it's meticulous, and it just gives me something to do. And I think about it like a lot. Just like I wouldn't, like, when I was a kid, I was always thinking about like, oh, I want to do this trick, I want to jump down these stairs, like whatever the case may be. Now it's like, oh, how can I do this trick different to make it look the way I want it to, right? And also to feel good too. Like, sometimes I'll do a trick and I'm like, ah, that did not feel the best. And reassess, what did I do? How did I land? Maybe did I not prep my body enough? Sometimes, just some of the things I'm thinking of, right? And I don't know. I'm having fun. I'm having a lot of fun doing it. And it's something that, like I said, it just makes me think. And I don't know, if you're a skater listening, I hope you are. But if you're not, one thing that people don't realize about us, and this is, I think, goes for any extreme sport, BMXing, scootering, freaking snowboarding, whatever it may be, you know, we look at life just when we're out in the town, right? We don't look at a stair and a rail as something to just walk up. No, we look at that and we're like, oh, there's no crack here. Oh, it's perfect run up. Oh, it's a little steep. Okay, there's this many. You know, we're analyzing it and being like, oh, this is doable or this is not doable. And we see everything in that way. And that's just the creativity side of it, the artistic side to skateboarding and all extreme sports. Just another reason why I love it. So, you know, that's my skating. that's what I've been up to. I've been having a lot of fun with it, and I'm going to continue doing it for a little bit, and I'll keep you guys updated and let you know how it's going. So with that, you know, I was in the market for my little Instagram Skater of the Week post that I chose, and I know last week I chose a homie. Today I'm choosing another homie just because the fact of me and this dude used to skate all the time together at Third Lair, and you know, we grew up skating street, we grew up skating the park, and now he's out there getting it with the real crew. He's really putting out some crazy content, and that is my homie Tanner Van Vark. If you guys don't follow him, go give him a follow. He is the goofiest dude, but he has the craziest style. If you want to see somebody who has insane board control, knows how to maneuver his body and just get it done, go give him a follow. It's at TANNERVANVARK at Tanner Van Vark. Hey man, keep killing it. You are some of the tricks I see him do, and it was insane because it was the same thing growing up watching him skate in person. He would just do something, you're like, dude, do you have glue on your shoes? How's your board moving? And like, because he just does this thing where he moves his ankle around so the board really truly does follow him, and it just looks so cool. It's so awesome to see, and you can see in this clip, right, he does a frontside half cab Smith, and the hubba that he does it on is tall as hell, y'all. I'm telling you, it's really tall. I've skated it before. I've tried to do something on it, and it's chunky. It is, whew, like when I say it's a chunky ledge, it is chunkier than Skippy Peanut Butter. That chunky stuff that some of y'all like. Yeah, this ledge is worse. Nah, but for real, it's crazy. You can hear it too when he grinds on it. It's just like the crazy sound, and it just, I love that too. One of the things about skating, you know, there's so many things to love, and homies getting tricks like this is one of them as well. Good stuff, Tanner. I'm just watching it over and over, and it's crazy because you have to look at the picture too. If you go check out the post, it's his most recent post, and he does it, and when he does this, right, so you're rolling up and the hub is in front of you, then you're popping. Going backwards, the way that you usually skate, you're popping on the tail of your board, so it's kind of like the nose at that time, and you're popping around, you're twisting around, like, to that opposite side, so you're going front side, so you're twisting around, so then the hubba is behind you, and you're twisting that way, so you're not twisting toward it, you're twisting away from it, and then dipping the board down, getting the back trucks on into a Smith. Insane. Insane. And if you look at the picture, look what I was saying. If you look at the picture, he comes out to regular. So not only does it just look so insane on video, you can see in the picture what I was talking about, how he's able to articulate his body in certain ways. And you can just see that. It's so cool. Oh, good stuff, man. Love it. Hey, man, if you're listening, let's talk soon. Hopefully when you're here in Minnesota, we can skate again, because that'd be sick. It's been a minute. Good stuff, man. Well, Tanner Van Vark getting it with the frontside half cab Smith in St. Paul, Minnesota, on one of the chunkiest ledges ever. You might as well just go add some Skippy Chunky Peanut Butter to it. Make it even better, you know? Fill in some of those chunks with the other chunks. Who knows? But good stuff, man. For real. That was awesome. I love it. Love seeing super different styles of skating. And there's so much of that. So I'm excited to really dive into it. If you guys have any suggestions, please send me them. DM me, let me know some clips that you guys have seen, and I'll check them out and maybe I'll mention them in the next episode. All right, now let's get into the topic for today's episode. And what we're talking about is the three different phases of repetition. What are they? How can you use them? What are the benefits? And yeah, just kind of the need to knows and the nuts and bolts of the three phases of repetition. So what are they? Well, it's your concentric, your isometric, and your eccentric. So let's dive into that a little bit further. I'll start with the eccentric. Okay, so the eccentric is the lowering phase. This is where you're lengthening a muscle, right? So if you think about a bicep curl, this is when you have that weight at the top and you're lowering it, right? So you're lowering it back down to your side or in front of you. That is the eccentric. You're lengthening that bicep. If you think about a squat and you're going down, right? You're squatting down to the ground. That's the eccentric. You're lengthening the muscles, right? You're loading them. This is actually where the muscle building comes into play, right? So there is this one camp of individuals who really tout that like eccentric training is the way to go only. It's like, well, no, it just depends on the context in which you're speaking. And if you want to talk about, you know, even muscle building, like the concentric is still important. You'll hear why in just a second. But the eccentric is where, you know, you're really tearing those muscles, and that's, you know, what really kickstarts hypertrophy or, you know, muscle growth. And this is also a great time to be able to control movement. So don't even worry about, like, if you're not worried about building muscle, right? Think about being able to control the eccentric phase, right? In different ways too. So I'm not just saying going super slow in a squat. Let's say you do a box step down or a hop down, whatever you're doing, and you can land, stabilize in that going down phase, right? So you can control that eccentric force coming down like that. That's fantastic for skateboarding. Think about that. If you're jumping down stairs and you're jumping, you're landing, you have that really strong eccentric force coming down on you. If you're able to control that and have the mindfulness, not even the mindfulness, wrong word. If you have the ability to withstand those forces and are able to improve that, why wouldn't you? This is the way you can do it with the way the eccentric phase of a contraction or repetition works, right? Is the fact that when you're lowering and you can really jump, stabilize, land, and then control that on the way down, that's just going to build even more stability, that neurological demand of being able to really stop. And you don't, you have to think too, you're doing this so quickly, you don't think in the terms of breaking it down during it, but your body is just, it's getting, in your central nervous system is getting such a great response from it that it really will adhere to great progress. And that's just something to think about, right? So you can slow it down. And this is just something that I like to use, right? Especially while you're at home. If you just have body weight, this is your time to slow the movements down. Go really slow. Go to 4 to 5 second eccentrics, you know, on a push-up. You're doing a push-up. Go super slow on the way down to the ground. Let yourself feel the stretch in the chest. Get that full range of motion where you're touching the chest to the ground, and then really feel yourself contract on the way up. You could do this for all the exercises, right? Squatting, lunging, bicep curls, bench dips, pull-ups, all that stuff. And it's something that a lot of people don't do, and I wish they did it more. You always see people doing the, you know, they go up and they drop down, They go up, they drop down. And it's not controlled. And it's just, it should be thought of more. Now, that being said, there's still the time and place to have that fast eccentric, like if you're dropping down to do like a jump, or you're even dropping down and then stabilizing in, let's say, a full squat or a half squat, then, you know, that has its place as well. But really slowing it down can really benefit you while you're at home with literally to no equipment, and just really connecting to the body, feeling what it's doing through the entire repetition, especially on the lowering portion. When you're loading those joints, it's key to be able to focus on that a little bit more, and this is your time to do so. I know sometimes when you're in the gym, you just want to get in and get out. I get it. But now you're at home, you have the time, might as well, and still utilize this after you go to the gym and stuff and you get back into the weights. This is great for getting back to weights, right? So this is going to really make sure that that mind-muscle connection is also there. Because if you're going down slow and you don't feel, like let's say you're lowering a bicep curl, right? You're doing the eccentric phase of a bicep curl and you don't feel your bicep feel like it's kind of tearing apart or feel like it's like ripping or whatever, you know, that you get that sensation and you feel it, let's say, more in your shoulder for some reason. Well, that can mean, you know, your shoulder's a little bit too flexed. You're using too much over your shoulder, involving too much of it, and you need to figure out how to isolate that bicep a little bit more. Even with, like I said, push-ups, bench pressing, you're coming down and you are trying to feel it in your chest, but you're feeling it in your triceps more. Well, assess, adjust, and get back to it. It's just something that really helps you emphasize where you're feeling it during the set and not just like after, right? You pump out a bunch of bench pressing or push-ups and then all of a sudden you're like, ooh, yeah, my triceps are pretty lit up. Not my chest. My chest is pretty good though. Well, yeah, I mean, shit, you probably should look at the shit you're doing, you know? I mean, think about it. So the eccentric, right? That is the lowering portion of a repetition. So now let's talk about the concentric. So the concentric is the raising phase, right? Or the shortening of the muscle, right? So when you are doing a bicep curl and the dumbbell's down by your side, this is where you're pulling that dumbbell up, flexing the elbow, squeezing the bicep, right? That's the concentric. You're bringing the weight up. If you're doing a squat, this is where you're coming out of the hole, coming up out of that squat. If you're doing a bench press, the barbell is on your chest and you're pushing that barbell up and off of you, right? So with this is where, you know, a lot of that power and strength comes from, or explosiveness. And this is great. This is fantastic. You can train this different ways too, right? So you could have a slow concentric, really just contracting the muscle before you even start lifting it, right? Really making sure that that connection is there, and then squeezing all the way up like in a bicep curl, for say, right? This would be something that you could do. Now, let's say you have a squat, right? You could go slow on the way down and explode. Oh, damn, just elbowed my desk so hard. I talk with my hands too much. You could go slow on the way down and then explode on the way up, right? That's just going to help you be more explosive, be able to really pop those tricks a little bit more. I mean, there's more to it than that, but you know what I'm saying? It's something that you can start thinking of differently. Now at home with little to no equipment, how do you utilize this? Well, it's awesome because, like I just said, you could go slow on a push-up, right? Super slow on the way down, 5 seconds, chest touches. As soon as that chest touches, you explode back up, right? So you're not too worried about trying to focus on squeezing the chest beforehand on the way up and getting that full mind-muscle connection. You're more worried about, you know, feeling it on the way down, touching, and then just exploding up, using, really igniting that CNS, being like, hey, boom, wake up, push up, get going, get up there. And it's something that you can just change throughout your training, all right? Like, let's say you want to do it in the way where you're going fast on the way up. You do that for a couple weeks, right? You train that way for a couple weeks, and then you change it up, and then you go slow. You know, there's different ways of doing it, especially while we're at home. Who knows how long we'll be on lockdown? It's supposed to only be 4 weeks here in Minnesota, but we'll see. We'll see where that all goes. But, you know, with that being said, it's something that I love about, you know, resistance training and like body weight movements, you know, free weight movements. There's so much versatility in it and what you can do, and playing around with these different phases of a repetition is just something that you can do your entire training life, right? So this is something that's also going to lead into like longevity. If you mess around with these things in the right way, you can really set yourself up for a great like linear progression throughout life. You know, I feel like a lot of people, they train and then they're like, okay, when do I stop, right? Or like, when, like, what age do I get to where I have to only walk or whatever? It's like, well, you don't. I mean, it doesn't have to be that way. You don't have to stop. You just keep doing it, but you change things up so your body can, you know, withstand what you're throwing at it. But, you know, it's just something to think about. And with that, you know, let's just go back over it real quick. So the concentric is going to be where you're shortening the muscle, like where you're raising the weight, or you're standing up out of a squat, or you're pushing a barbell off your chest in a bench press. And like I said, this is where a lot of the explosiveness, the strength, the power comes from. This is that part that you can play around with too. Slow it down, you know, really connect to that muscle before you even start that phase of the repetition, before you start that contraction and you start pushing up. And you want to just really contract your chest more and then start pushing the bar up off your chest, doing the concentric phase. You know, that's just going to help you really get connected even more. And if you want to do it quick, you know, that's just, like I said, going to work on explosiveness, power, strength. And I would suggest at home playing around with it, you know, doing some squat jumps. You could do a slow eccentric, same thing, and then a jump up, and then land slow eccentric, control it, jump up. You could do the push-up one, like I was saying, where you're going down very slow, chest touches, and then you're exploding back up out of that push-up. You could even do it to the way where, you know, you're doing different things each time. So let's say you're doing like bodyweight squats. You do your regular like 3-2-2 tempo. And then, so you go down, you do one rep, you come up regular, and then you go down again. And then next rep, you do a squat jump. You know, whatever it may be, you can just play around with it. Play around with it, see what feels good. Control your body, get on one leg, play with this unilaterally. This is something that's great for unilateral training, especially for those who do not do it. It's something that you really should slow down and think of a little bit more. There should be more of a thought process behind those movements, especially if you have not done them before. So, you know, play around with it. Have some fun. Stay safe, you know, always. But now, you know, we're into the isometric phase of repetition. So, what is that? Well, I mean, it's isometric. This is the part where you're pausing, or, you know, let's say you're doing a bicep curl, right? and it's the easiest way to think about it. You're curling that weight up, and at the top, you're squeezing your bicep and holding that squeeze for a little bit. You know, you're really contracting that muscle. This is supposed to be the part where you're contracting that muscle at its fullest range, at its fullest end range of motion. So it... And it's different for everybody because it's, a lot of the times we don't even do this. We think we are, but we could go a lot harder than we actually are usually. So, but you know, at the top of a bicep curl, this is where you're squeezing that bicep. Or even, you know, it doesn't have to be at the top. You could even hold that with a 90 degree bend in the elbow. That's still isometric. This is where you're just holding a contract. When you're holding a repetition at a certain part of the rep, and contracting that muscle and holding that contraction, right? So you're isometrically holding a contraction, squeezing the muscle, holding it at whichever length too, right? You can do this at like halfway up through a bicep curl, at the top of a bicep curl. You even can do this if you have the right mind-muscle connection and you're going like really slow on the way down, right? You contract really hard, can't hold the top anymore, slow on the way down, hold it isometrically at 90, and then all of a sudden you can't hold it and you go a little bit lower to like quarter of the way almost down, you squeeze even harder. You know, there's different ways of doing it, and my favorite way, especially for skateboarding, to play around with isometric contractions is actually in the lower body and to really build resiliency, right? So you got to think, when we're skating, we're constantly in like a quarter squat position, we're pushing, we're pumping, you know, we're doing all this stuff. And we're not really standing up completely straight most of the time at all. And if you want to be able to, you know, not get burnt out and have that like sensation in your legs, like they're about to explode and they're just pumped full of, you know, everything possible in your body, then, you know, you can really work on that with isometric stuff. And doing, like, let's say you do a rear foot elevated split squat and you go down to the part where your knee is just about to touch the ground but it's still hovering. Now from here you are pushing into the ground with that foot that's planted on the ground. You're even pushing into the bench with the foot that's up behind you. You're holding, you're not going anywhere, you're acting like you're gonna go up, so you're pushing into the ground still, but you're keeping your body stable in that position at the bottom, holding, you know, really squeezing, trying to almost bring that foot back to your butt, and then trying to bring that other foot to the ground, so pushing into the bench, holding everything. That's a great way to build resiliency. You know, you hold that for 30 seconds with just body weight, come back and let me know how you feel. Do a couple repetitions of that, let me know how you feel. It's a little bit different too. If you've never done it, it's a great way to get that mind-muscle connection there even more. So if you're having trouble feeling a muscle when you're doing an exercise, right? Like let's say you're doing a chest fly or you're doing a push-up and you're just not feeling it in your chest and you're unable to contract that muscle at that, let's say like that bottom range of motion or even at the top. You're just not able to contract it at those end ranges. And, you know, you're having issues feeling it. Let's say you're feeling more in your triceps for a push-up, right? You know, what you can do is get down on the ground, lay flat on the ground, and then just barely push yourself up. So you're just barely hovering above the ground. And then try to bring your hands together, right? So you're trying to pretty much slide the floor together to get your hands to meet. Of course, they're not going to move because you're in that position, but this is going to help you get that contraction. You know, that's that isometric where you're holding it, you're figuring out what to do, trying to be like, okay, squeezing here, that works. Okay, squeezing a little bit more. Nope, that threw me off a little bit. And then squeezing more. Okay, there it is. You know, gives you a chance to get connected, get that mind muscle connection going a little bit more. And I just love this because it slows things down. And also, like I said, for skateboarding, great, great, great thing for building resiliency. We're always in such a weird quarter squat position. It's great. And you also can do this too. Like, let's say you have issues with stabilization, right? Stabilization and exercise seems to be an issue for you. This is something that will really help with that, right? Let's say you have trouble, like I said, unilateral stuff, doing like a rear foot elevated split squat, you know, doing a, like say, a split stance squat, but like isometrically. So you're coming down and your front leg's about like a 90 and you're trying to focus a little bit more on some knee flexion. So bringing that knee over the toes a little bit and then just really holding that, squeezing, making sure that that knee's staying directly over the toes, making sure that back leg or the back hip is internally rotating. So it's not just popping out. You're really staying centered, bearing down and staying straight. You're just going to build the stabilizing muscles. All those small stabilizing muscles around the hip, that's all going to get worked when you're doing this. And it really helps you focus on it. Instead of doing, I mean, don't get me wrong, like lateral walks and clamshells and all that stuff, they have their place. But this is something that it will tax your CNS more too. So, you know, the more demanding an exercise on this exercise is on the CNS, the more bang for your buck that you're gonna get. So, you know, squatting, bench pressing, deadlifting, that's all gonna outweigh, you know, like let's say a leg curl machine, a chest fly, a row, you know, all that, the machine stuff or whatever. It's gonna outweigh that just because the central nervous system and the demand it has on that, it just has a greater effect on the body in all. So, you know, that comes along with incorporating the isometric part of a repetition or phase of a repetition. So, you know, I like this too, because this is also goes into like plyometric training a little bit. So for like me, if I'm doing, let's say ice skaters, you know, you see a lot of people doing these are just back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, and it looks like, oh, cool, that dude's athletic, but like, can you jump, stop on that one leg, have the knees over the toe and just stabilize and isometrically hold in like that quarter squat position? You know, that's what I like for. Or can you, you know, when you go to do a box step up, whether it's lateral or it's in front of you, or no, can you go up and then hold that position at the top, you know, really focus on it? Or can you come down and, you know, do a box, like you jump off the box, do a box step down, and you land on both feet, and then you let yourself squat down, and you stabilize and hold? You know, that's a great way to build proprioception, stabilization, you know, keep yourself safe. That's going to be a lot of people neglect this, and not even just for skateboarding, but for skateboarding, make sure if you're a skater, really please incorporate this into your training. Get some plyometric stuff in there. Not that stuff you see on Instagram and crap too. Like, not, don't be going hard. This shouldn't be stuff you're pushing yourself to the very brink of exhaustion. No, this is stuff that should be slow, controlled, and something you're thinking of. I know I went on a rant, but I don't like seeing people jump up on boxes, barely step down, terrible form, look like they're about to bust their ass. Like, I don't want to, no, don't do that. Slow down, take your time, think about what you're doing, and think about what we talked about today on this episode. You know, think about how can you control the concentric phase of plyometric training. You know, that would be, let's say you're coming up and you're doing a box step up. Like, are you going to go fast? That's cool too. Are you going to stabilize at the top, the isometric part? Are you going to go slow when you're stepping down? Or are you just going to kind of step off? Or are you going to jump down? You know, what is it? You know, there's all those great ways you can incorporate everything we talked about today into, you know, plyometric training. And that's just kind of like a rant that I want to go on kind of on the back end of what we talked about. Just because, like I said, it's so neglected. And you got to think, not just skateboarding, but think about the people, myself, right? And if you have kids, you know, when you have kids, your kids move and they do stuff. And sometimes you have to move pretty quick and stop them from doing what they're about to do. So, you know, my thing is, if the hospital isn't around the corner from the decision you're about to make, or the cops aren't, then I think we're okay. But, you know, sometimes when that hospital is around the corner from the decision he's about to make, then I need to make sure I can move quickly and grab him. You know, a lot of people get injured, even just like turning around, you know, just twisting around to it. Somebody calls your name, you're like, yeah, boom, turn around. You're in your 30s, right? You got to do this. You twist. Ooh, back hurts. Or, you know, you're skating and you go to do a trick that requires you to twist the body more at the trunk. And then all of a sudden, ooh, you feel the same thing. Got some back pain, you know? Well, maybe you should. I mean, that's a little bit different in the sense of that's just like a rotational issue too, like training anti-rotation to be better at rotation. But, you know, more in the sense of, you know, if you're thinking of like moving out of the way of a car that's coming at you, or let's say, you know, your kid's about to fall off a park and you need to run or jump over something and grab them, you know, all that stuff. It's all important things to be able to do. So think about incorporating some type of plyometric training into your programming if you are not already. And, you know, I'm very happy with just skateboarding in general and the way that everything's going right now. I love it, and I just want to say thank you to everybody who's showing me support, telling me to keep going. It, trust me, when you guys say that stuff, it keeps me going. It's something. I mean, I'm gonna keep doing it anyways because I love it. Like, it's whatever. You know, if you tell me to not do it, like, fuck you. Okay, you know, I'm just gonna keep doing what I do. It doesn't matter. But, you know, when you guys do say that, it really does help fill that fuel tank. You know, some days are rough. Sometimes I'm waking up, I'm like, fuck, dude, now I gotta do so much. And it's like, oh no, but not really. I love this. Is it really working? You tell me. But, you know, no, but all seriousness though, thank you to everybody who's showing support. I really do appreciate it. And, you know, let's give some shout outs real quick. So again, real quick, so my Instagram skater pick of the week is Tanner Van Vark. You can follow him on Instagram at TANNERVANVARK. And then if you guys are in the market for some amazing gear, some amazing clothing, hats, snapbacks, beanies, t-shirts, long sleeves, sweatshirts, joggers, shorts, jackets, all of it geared for extreme sports, make sure you check out my sponsor over at Airtime Clothing. Hey, they're hooking it up. The owner over there, Aaron, is amazing. He loves what extreme sports is all about, and he's all about the community, and he's here to support the community. So make sure, if you guys are in the market for that, go check them out. I will make sure that everything that I mentioned today is in the bio as well. So if you need to check out the website, go copy and paste it from the link or the bio down below. All right. If you need some boards right now, it's a struggle with COVID, but hit up Monte Coso Skateboards. Shout out to my homie, Dustin. Thank you, man, for everything you do for us all. And really, it's weird right now because we can't get boards, and you know, it's just hard. It's a struggle. You know, all the bigger board companies and all this stuff, and it's a little different right now. But when they are back up and running, if you guys hit them up now, I know they will make sure to get back to you when you are in the when they're ready to get some to you. And the thing is too, these boards, they don't break. They don't even chip. The other day I was skating here at third, and I was doing this little launch ramp thing they have, right? Landed, threw my board out, and there's this metal beam on the side, right? Because it's a factory. It's like a old warehouse. And it's like the beam on the side of the building, right? And it, my board flew out, hit it directly on the nose. I was like, no! It's going to be chipped. Brand new board. Nope. Came back. Just a little dent in it. I was like, okay, cool. They doing it right. So make sure you check them out. And then also, if you guys are in the market for any other gear, trucks, wheels, bearings, stickers, some great, amazing third layer gear, pads, helmets, complete skateboards and decks. You know, hit up my partners, Third Layer Skate Park and Skate Shop. They are amazing. That is the home to the gym of extreme strength and fitness. We are out here at Third Layer Skate Park and Skate Shop in Golden Valley, Minnesota. If you're in the Twin Cities area, make sure you stop in, support the local skate shop. And if you are not ever going to be here in Minnesota, because I don't blame you, it's cold as hell here. But if you are here, make sure you stop in. And hell, even if you're in the Midwest, come by. You know, Third Layer's the place to be. But if not, make sure you check the website link in the show notes below. And shout out to my mans, the way you're hearing me, my producer at Fuego Productions. You can go follow him on Instagram. So, real quick, at Fuego, he has actually been my homie for so long. And it's so cool that I'm able to do something like this with... So, and he, it's cool too. He went to school for all this, and now me and him are able to work together on our two things, and I just think it's really cool. So shout out to you. Hey, go follow him. That's at Fuego underscore at Fuego. If you need anything produced, if you're in the Minneapolis area, you want to get into the studio, or if you just want to send him your stuff and get sounding right, hey, hit him up. Go shoot him a DM. He'll get back to you. Great man right there. And, you know, last and least, shout out to my wife, my kids, my mom, and all those who came before me. You know, gotta have gratitude for that. And, you know, without further ado, let's gain stability, mobility, and build strength you may have never known you had.